I'm just over the mountains and through the woods at Utah State University, in the Department of Psychology. We have Dr. Steve Metro here today, and then our other co-presenters are Nick Ang and Dennis Colhane. Do you want to do the intro, a little bit of background?
Okay, you can chime in.
Okay. So the title of our talk is Trends in Earnings and Employment Before and After the First Instance of Homelessness, a Multi-Cohort Analysis. So we have no financial...
I'm still waiting for somebody to have...
other than the cost to come to the conference, I don't have anything to disclose.
Not much corporate money in homelessness.
And we have 15 minutes for these?
Yes.
Is that the time? Okay, let's draw a timer. You know, public health is a big tent, and there was a nice piece early in the year by Fairchild et al. In the American Journal of Public Health that discussed some of the early background of public health, and a little bit of the focus was on how economic breakdown and housing issues are intricately related to homelessness and health, and there's sort of a feel that this sort of area is going to be something important to look at, that's something that's being revitalized as an important area of public health. So it's nice to have this caucus here to present this work. As we all know, the etiology of homelessness is varied. It can include financial difficulties or unemployment. However, we don't have a lot of research to inform us about what trends are like in terms of earnings and employment, both before or after instances of homelessness, especially the first experience of homelessness. And there's also a little research that supports the notion that homelessness has a persistent negative impact on earnings and employment long term. So our research questions were basically what happens with earnings and employment prior to the first instance of homelessness? Is there sort of this steady exponential decline, or is there little to no change? And then what happens to earnings and employment following the first instance of homelessness? So is there a recovery, or is it just sort of, you know, trail along, or is there further decline after that time point? And then do these trends vary as a function of family or individual status and other factors? We're just going to focus on single versus individuals in this presentation today. Do you want to add anything at this point?
Well, basically, the main point, there's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more research out there, kind of like the first study here in this session, looking at antecedents to homelessness, like health-related, than there is actual economic antecedents. And part of the reason for that is because the data just isn't out there. Most of the data would be self-report, which in terms of income, in terms of work, is just very unreliable. Also, kind of limited to small samples, and we've got an opportunity in this study to kind of look at it in a much more systematic fashion.
So, like Steve mentioned, one of the major difficulties is, is the difficulties following individuals after that first experience of homelessness longitudinally. So what we were able to access was data from the New York City Department of Homeless Services on homeless information, and from the Social Security Administration on earnings and employment status.
And let me just add a little, this is kind of a very unique kind of an opportunity here, because if you know research that Dennis and I have done, we've worked a lot with administrative data from the New York City Department of Homeless Services, which basically they keep a record on anybody who's used their services, and they either run or fund just about all of the shelters in New York City, and they have data on all of that going all the way back to 1987. So what we have there is kind of a longitudinal data set of people who have been in shelter, and then we got the opportunity to match that with data from the Social Security Administration. Basically, Social Security has records on all of us, I presume, as well as anybody else who has done any kind of, you know, legitimate employment over and. So getting ahead of myself. So we'll keep it at that. So and I'll kind of take this because I've been most involved. with this is Social Security. I mean, there's obviously privacy concerns with any time you get any kind of identified data with Social Security. That's probably second only to the Internal Revenue Service in terms of their concerns about confidentiality. And they agreed to do the record match, which involved quite a bit of negotiation. But they would only do it provided it was they provided the data back in aggregated form, meaning that anytime you have a cell of less than 10 people like matching, then they won't report any kind of data, and which is understandable due to setting precedents and concern for confidentiality and just very kind of sensitive information. And I kind of felt better knowing that my records of Social Security are probably treated the same way, and y'all can kind of feel that way too. The government isn't actually out to surveillance to observe you and things with your data. But anyway, so we had but that from a methodological viewpoint kind of presented a challenge, because the researcher in me would have loved to have had this individual data because we could have done a lot more with it. And so what we did instead was to kind of try and break it down into as small cells as possible. Like I said, they will report data on any cells of 10 people or more. And so to break that down in terms of age groups, in terms of obviously gender, in terms of race, in terms of shelter use patterns, and we broke that down into episodic, chronic, and transitional in the cluster. In those kind of cluster groupings, and I'm probably missing one or two other, and family and single. So we kind of broke it down into like 10, ended up being in the thousands of different clusters, so we can get it as finely granulated as possible and stay within their policies. Did I cover everything there? The data we had was we took everybody whose first year of shelter use in New York City was between 1990 and 2002, and we followed them 10 years back from their first date of shelter entry and 10 years subsequent. So what we had is we had, in most cases, a kind of a 20-year window looking at records of people's homelessness. Obviously, that was truncated somewhat for the younger groups, and also for people leaving shelter in the later years. I think we had to truncate that a bit. But for the most part, we got 20 years worth of earnings data on 12 incidence cohorts of homeless 13, both families yeah. and singles. 13. Yeah. My math is a bit off.
That's
there.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Good. Okay. Yeah, that's great. And so, so we ended up with about 67,000 sampling clusters, which are these different demographic and homelessness and related characteristics of 12 or more people. And so we would get like a mean earnings or an employment rate per cluster, and that was really the unit of analysis. And then we had these 13 cohorts that Steve mentioned. So these are the years of first instance of homelessness. So that represented 85% of the New York system for that time window.
There's a couple of shelters in New York City that basically operate without the help of New York City Department of Homeless Services, but the vast majority of the New York City shelter system is municipally funded.
So this presented a neat, unique opportunity to sort of do this longitudinal view. So these are just some mosaic plots, just a quick way to look at the demographic breakdown of the sample. So on the left are families, and the right are singles. And we have those stratified by male and female. And so you can see sort of the age breakdown. Of course, the families are mostly female and head of household, and singles are mostly male. And then down here we have race, ethnicity for the groups. This is white down at the bottom, sort of cut off. Okay, so largely African-American sample. To analyze the data, we used mixed effects models. And the earnings were transformed into 2008 dollars, U.S. dollars. We log transformed the data to analyze it to improve the data a little bit. Because you'll see in a second, there's such an abrupt change at the point of homelessness and thereafter. We did what's called a piecewise model, just allows some flexibility in the analysis so that the analysis is following the data a little bit better, fitting the data better. We analyzed singles and families separately, and we used the cluster size as a weight in the analysis, and then we adjusted for age, sex, and race.
And Jameson's a statistician, so I'll translate here.
Yeah.
basically, what Jameson was able to do is kind of recreate a lot, or just kind of re-estimate, if I'm understanding this correctly, from the aggregate cells, basically recreate a lot of individual level records.
Yeah, we could do that.
And
yeah.
on their basic categories. So where, you know, obviously we didn't have identifiers in anybody, but we were able to construct it so that we can use the mixed effects models and actually look at the impact of different factors.
Yeah, and if you don't, it's sort of just a glorified regression analysis if you're not familiar with this technique. So first we'll present the earnings results, and we have on the left, just to break this down, just to orient you to the graph first before discussing the content, we have family and singles separately. And then we have mean income on the y-axis. And then what we did is, because we have multiple cohorts, right, starting at different years, we basically combine those together. And so year zero here is the first instance of that's the time of homelessness. Okay, so these little, and then what we did is we just picked every 3 years, we pulled out the cohort and plotted their individual trends, so you can sort of see that this main overall trend is representative of what we see across, really this is across the whole 13 years of the cohort, of the different cohorts, excuse me. What we have in each portion of the figure are two sets of plots. We'll take the bottom one first. And so this is when we included all cases, regardless of whether they had any earnings or not. So if people had zero earnings, obviously this is going to pull this down because there are people in here with zeros. And then what we did is we pulled out people who had no earnings, and so obviously this is going to move up. Okay, so now that you're oriented to the figure and we can talk about what's going on here, obviously there is a decline pre-homelessness. There's sort of the shouldering off of an earnings over time from the 10-year point down to zero. And then after that point, there's this acceleration among families and singles in terms of earnings, which was quite striking to us. In fact, it not only does it recover, but it also exceeds pre, and again, this is all adjusted to $2008 dollars, so it exceeds 10 years prior to. So there's some real positive findings here.
And also, yeah, 2 points. One is the positive, the first point is this really makes a case showing the impact, how economics impacts homelessness. And, you know, obviously you have this kind of financial decline that's happening in some cases quite a ways before homelessness, and kind of declining and basically bottoming out at the point of homelessness. And then you have the good news in that for a lot of people, especially those who have a history of earnings, there is this kind of a recovery where people do regain their earnings and presumably also exit homelessness again.
Sorry, is this adjusting at all for chronic homelessness? Like, where is that factor?
This is not.
This is actually just. This isn't even. These aren't predicted values at all. This is just totally observed data. Yeah. So it's not adjusted for anything here. Okay. And then our next plot is similar.
So were you saying that everybody was just homeless at one time?
We're saying that everybody started homeless at zero there in the middle of those two graphs, and we didn't have any way to kind of judge when people exited homelessness here. So this is after the point of homelessness, and presumably as we shift kind of more over to the right, more and more people will have exited homelessness.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good question. And then here's employment trends, so sort of a different trend. These are employment rates, okay, so 40% here, for example. And so you can see there's a little pickup, and then and among families, and then there's a drop off, and then again a subsequent pickup, an acceleration again to above 50%, almost to 60%. For this is again combining all cohorts together. The story was a little bit different for singles, however. You can see a continuing decline post homelessness. Okay.
This is any earnings at all.
Any.
So
yeah.
Any. Social Security, like a Social Security pension, like disability or retirement benefits, would not show up in this analysis. It's just wages. And also any kind of informal economy.
Under the table.
You know, selling DVDs on the street or whatever else.
So these could be considered underestimates, if anything.
So they would be underreports. It would be more likely to affect singles. But also, I mean, it's a bit disconcerting as for singles. You know, the participation in the formal labor force does go down over time among those people experiencing homelessness, which is pretty steady, which doesn't seem to have a shock at all in terms of the onset of homelessness. And where families, it's different. I mean, families kind of have that crisis, lose the work, and then basically show that they bounce back. And I think one of the and I don't know if I'm preceding one of the slides here, but I think that also part of that is demographics, where families typically experience homelessness much younger when they have smaller kids. As the kids get older, you know, daycare becomes less of an issue. The parents are kind of in their prime, their labor force, you know, that can be expected to recover a lot more than singles who typically become homeless much older and who's, you know, are basically going to have a harder time recovering in terms of their labor force participation.
So reported earnings would not be, for most parts of the country, day labor. Does New York have a day labor market?
I'm sure they have a day labor market. Insofar as they would take FICA out of those wages, and I don't know if they do or not.
We're about out of time, I think. So I just want to we've covered the results here. We'll just jump to the conclusions. We think these results are very compelling in that earnings and rate of employment are not static phenomenon after the first instance of homelessness, that there can be a recovery. However, we need to explore more this issue of employment among singles and probably among men and see what can, you know, what we can focus on there. And I think this is a nice illustration of how we can meld administrative data from different sources to answer some important questions in homelessness. So I don't know if we have time for questions or not. If we budgeted enough here, are we still behind?
We'll try to hit some at the end when we get.
No problem.
That is a very neat study. That's really
very fortunate in that. This is a work in progress. We are setting up some regression models. Jameson's going to continue to go on in that, and hopefully we'll get some publications out of this. So
yeah, thank you.